Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones.
Welcome, dear one, to the Emily Alexina podcast. I'm Emily, and I'm interested in finding and nourishing our highest human potential. I believe humans have much more beauty and goodness to share with each other and with nature, much more than we have expressed in recent centuries, although we have seen glimpses of it. I'm excited about our future. On this podcast, you will hear mine and other stories on themes like motherhood, birth, holistic healing, spiritual healing, education, and farming. Support my work by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Also consider making a financial donation via the link in the show notes. I'm currently saving for new microphones. Music is by Kate Sutherland.
Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times.
Hello, everyone. I am back today for a little episode about my most recent QHHT experience that I underwent as a client. Things have been pretty busy over the summer, and I will be coming out with more details about how our summer went and what we're planning for the fall in the next few episodes. But for this one, I want to jump right into my QHHT experience. So as a practitioner of this method, I think it's very important that I stay up to date on having my own experiences and opening of consciousness. And there are different ways to do this, of course. One of my favorite ways is through this method of QHHT that I am a practitioner of, that was created by Dolores Cannon. It's called Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique. And it can include past lives, is often what it's known for. And sometimes I tell people that I'm a past life regressionist, but really it goes so far beyond. I think that past lives is just one of the ways that this technique uses past lives to open up our consciousness, to peel away layers of our superficial consciousness and kind of mind stuff, so that we can access deeper aspects of ourselves and come closer to our soul, come closer to our highest expression of ourself and kind of our innate, bright, loving potential that every single human has. And I did this session with my friend Lena, who is a practitioner out in Victoriaville in Quebec. So she's in Montreal. And I did it in French, which was wonderful. French is my mother tongue. I feel sometimes it's like the tongue of my heart, the language of my heart. And it was really special to be able to experience QHHT in French. Now, before having a session, it's important to kind of set an intention. And Lena also practices a method called BQH, which is called Beyond Quantum Healing. It was created by one of the higher level practitioners of QHHT who felt that there were things missing in the training and kind of created BQH, Beyond Quantum Healing. And so Lena brought some of those aspects of the work into the session, which I found very interesting and that I will be now applying into my work. And one of them is to be very clear about the intention that we're setting. And so my intention was, I had a few kind of like important questions. One was releasing anger and frustration. I feel like it had been something I've been carrying for my whole life, really, just like frustration towards other people. and life and how I see that it could be better and that other people could be better and even towards myself. I'm a Virgo sun sign, and so I can be quite critical and hard on myself and on others. And I think sometimes when we are able to see these kind of darker sides of ourselves, is the first step, you know, is that we can see it. And then the second step is to even have a desire to let it go and see who we could be without it. And so that was one of my intentions. I also have someone close in my life who, creates a lot of intensity for me, perhaps is the word, that I find is like a very karmic relationship. It's someone in my extended family that I interact with and really challenges me on a lot of levels. And I had a feeling it was maybe something karmic, or I just wanted some insight as to how to best navigate that relationship. And I also have always wondered if I've had a past life as a Native American. I have regressed quite a few people with Native American lifetimes, Inuit people, and other kind of tribes. So, you know, it's hard to get specific sometimes, but definitely Native American people coming back in white bodies, white bloodlines, which I find very interesting. And so that was kind of a big question. And also pulling together all of the different past lives that I've kind of seen glimpses of. And some have been through the practices that I did with my husband, who we first learned our QHHT skills together, and then we were practicing on each other. And we had very interesting experiences with that. And then I've also done some online stuff. There's free, you know, YouTube videos that you can try. I will link it below, the one that I use that I find has really given me some good insight. And in that one, I had seen, using the free YouTube video on my own, I had seen glimpses of a past life of a Native American elder woman who was like a medicine woman, midwife. Just did all the things for her little village and tribe of people that she worked with. I had seen glimpses of her life, but I wasn't sure if it was really true. You know, that's kind of one of the things when we start to explore these different areas in our consciousness. For me, it's always been a question of what's really true, what's really real. We can get these flashes in our mind and wonder, is it just imagination? Is it, you know, an actual past life? What is it? And there are two aspects to this. One is that I don't hold as much importance to that as to like kind of defining it as true or not true, as to even if things are actually a past life or not a past life. Where like my soul that is in my body would have been exactly in another body at another time, because I feel like the rules and regulations of lifetimes and soul work is not as boxed in and defined as we would like it to be, or, you know, compared to how we define things in the current reality and dimension. I have a feeling there's some kind of like, it's like parts of our oversoul, or, you know, some people even say that all the lifetimes are still being lived at the same time because time itself doesn't actually exist. So these are kind of concepts that I'm sitting with. But having experienced my own past lives through regression, through this method of QHHT before, I've definitely had experiences where it's very like physical, and it just answers some questions so perfectly, and the sensations and the images and stories are so physical and real, and don't feel invented. Like, had they been chosen, like I could not have created them with my conscious mind. That is when I feel that there's like a quote unquote truth to them. And when I feel like something is true, then I feel like I can really use it and apply it to my life to my inner world to change and evolve and improve things. So that's kind of where I sit with with things. And when I had done that YouTube regression, I had seen glimpses of this woman's lifetime as a Native American. And one of the questions I have in my body, the right side of my body is kind of funny. Like my right ear is a bit funny looking, like slightly deformed. My right foot turns in a little bit, and my right hip has always kind of bothered me. I just felt like there was a bit of a missing alignment in that side of my body, and I was wondering if that was related to a past life, some kind of karma that I came into this world with. And I think it's connected to that life of that Native American woman. And when I did that YouTube video, I saw that she had gotten burned on that right side of her body in a pretty serious way. I didn't see like any that she felt pain necessarily, because she was quite like an advanced, spiritually advanced person. But that she then had to live with these burns on her body, and it was kind of part of her karma and something that had brought into this life. It's kind of a big story, and it's actually not that important. And that's what came up in this session with Lena. But I share this because these are kind of different things that we can ask and get information about through this technique. So we did this session online, which was also very good for me to experience online sessions, because I have facilitated sessions online for others with success, and it was very good for me to experience it online. I had a thought that it would be better in person, and I think that for this session particularly, I don't think it would have been better or worse in person. It actually felt like we were sharing the same space. We were sharing, you know, the same time, the same energetic space. And it felt, you know, very powerful, even with her being there. We set an intention. She did a little ritual before the session. I like to always say a little prayer when I do work like this, to improve the energy in the space and to connect to Mother Earth and Father Sky and the source of love. And then we jumped in. So when she was doing the induction, this was a bit tricky for me, because as a practitioner, I know the words exactly. And so my conscious mind was definitely on board. I also had written the French QHHT script like 8 years ago and had shared it with them. And I noticed that there had been changes made since that time. And that was really tricky for me to navigate, because I was like, oh, that they changed that word and they changed that word. And I was in my kind of superficial alpha brainwave conscious mind. And I had to decide for myself to relax and let go and get out of that state. And this is something that's useful for anyone who's going to consider QHHT or any kind of meditative work like this, is that there is, you know, an individual responsibility to really let go. And there are definitely ways as a practitioner to help people do that. But ultimately, they have to decide. It cannot be forced. You know, it can be encouraged. We can explain different things to the conscious mind that will help it kind of like step away and relax. But ultimately, the person has to decide. And when you're in, especially as you're first going under, it's like when you're first falling asleep, it's like you're aware that you're falling asleep. You're aware that you're in your bed. And it's like that liminal space in between where you have to kind of just let go at some point. And so we were doing the induction, then we went to the beautiful place. So, you know, I'm going to be saying exactly how it happens in the session. I find this is helpful, especially if you're considering QHHT, even that I explained beforehand where we're going to ask you to go in your mind when we do a session. And this already prepares the mind to be bringing you somewhere. So we do an induction, relaxation, we set a pyramid of white light around the body, pyramid of protection, and then we ask the person to go to the most beautiful place in the world where it's peaceful and there are no problems, no worries, anywhere in the world. It could be a forest, a meadow, or an ocean. And I went to the forest of my childhood, and I had just been there the day before, which was wild. And it was the most perfect summer day with these tall, tall trees and this forest that you just feel that you can breathe in. And I lived for, I think 8 years around this forest, just backing onto this forest. So it was very important in my kind of years of development. And I remember as a child running through that forest, wanting to take my shoes off. And, you know, back in those days, it was like such a big thing to take my shoes off. I never walked on the ground barefoot, you know, unless it was at the pool or something like that. But I didn't take my shoes off very often, but I wanted to so badly just take my shoes off and walk on the leaves, which were actually so soft for the feet. It, you know, it didn't feel dangerous. And I wanted to touch the climb on the fallen trees and feel the bark under my feet. I just loved it as a child. And so walking through that forest, I had my son with me, which is also interesting. The day before was such a beautiful feeling. And in the QHHT, I just went back to that day, just to that previous day. That was the most beautiful place of no worries, that first place that came to mind. And Lena was very good with the questions that she was asking. We kind of stayed there for longer than I usually stay with people in their beautiful place. So this is something that I will be bringing in to my work. And I had a feeling that I wanted to climb a tree in my mind, and so I did. And then I was kind of like up at the top of the trees, the treetops, and I was looking around, and it was just all forest. It was just giant, giant, incredible, magnificent forest. Trees and trees and trees for as far as the eye can see. Which was interesting because, of course, if it's my forest from my childhood, there's a neighborhood right there and there's houses to see. But I didn't see them when I climbed to the top of the tree. So that's when I knew that I was possibly already stepping into another reality of some kind. And I was a bit disappointed about it, to be honest, because usually in QHHT, we ask someone to see the sky and to jump onto a cloud, and then the cloud drifts and floats, and you lay back on the cloud and you bring it around your body. And I've had this experience before, and it's so good. It feels so good. And it's amazing, honestly, what you can create with the mind. It's a full physical feeling, and I have this memory in my body and in my mind of lying back on the cloud, and I was actually very much looking forward to experiencing that again. But this time I was already somewhere in a different time, because the houses of this forest, this that I'm talking about, that I know, that I love, was not visible. And so I almost didn't tell Lena, because I wanted to go on the cloud, but I said, no, I think I'm somewhere else. And I saw, and then she asked, okay, like, are you in a different body? Look down at your feet. And I was definitely, could see myself as a woman with really beautiful, dark, dark, dark black hair. You know, to more tan skin, very, very strong. Whenever I connect to this personality, she's incredibly strong and agile. And I was like, yep, I'm in another body. And I had some doubts coming into my mind, because Pocahontas is one of my favorite childhood movies. And there's a scene in the Disney movie where she climbs to the top of Grandmother Willow and looks out over the trees. Of course, she sees water, right? She sees the ocean. But I was like, okay, I'm just reliving Pocahontas. This is one of my favorite my favorite movies, and you know, it inspires so much in me, and I'm just reliving Pocahontas. But I know, because I'm a practitioner and I help people through this work myself, is, you know, that there are no coincidences. Me loving Pocahontas is not a coincidence. And if that is what I'm seeing in that moment, I can let go and just go with that story. And of course, it unfolded differently than the story of Pocahontas. So it was just like one scene that I was going with. And I know that when something comes up, you know, in the mind, in an image, a storyline, we just go for it and allow it to unfold. And so connecting to that personality was very interesting, because she felt like she was about 15, 16, maybe 16. And she felt incredibly strong, incredibly healthy, very grounded, and very mature, like as mature as I feel now at my age of 33, I'm about to turn 34. She felt so mature. And we kind of went into her story a little bit. She was like maybe a daughter of a chief in her village, and she was being trained as a medicine woman because she had interest for the plants and for healing. So she had a teacher, and the teacher I recognized as a friend in this lifetime, who I'm not going to name, but that was very fun to see. And she had some frustrations with her teacher because she felt like she knew more and had like more depth and connection to things, with a capital T, to spirit, to creator. And she had some frustration with him. He was a male teacher, male like medicine man. And yes, and she had a deep sense of maturity. So she spent her days in the mornings and evenings, she was kind of helping with her community with all the different tasks. And then she had time in the afternoon to just be alone and do whatever she wanted in the forest. And there was this sense that, like, from the community, that was important for her development to have that freedom. And also a sense from her that she knew that it was not going to last, that she had been very close to the mothers and the medicine man and, you know, the chief and all the adults doing important work in the community. And she knew that her freedom of her maidenhood was not going to last. And so she had a sense of like really making the most of it. And in my life, this current life, I didn't realize until I kind of saw that scene, but I definitely had some feelings of regret over like wasting my maidenhood. I got pregnant at 24, which is a little bit, you know, young for my generation of women and my friends and things like that. And from 15 to 24, those 10 years were the saddest and I had years of my life, I could say. I had, you know, a lot of anxiety, depression, didn't know my place in the world, didn't have much connection to my parents because they were going through a divorce. I experienced eating disorders in that time, high anxiety, had two bouts of serious depression with suicidal ideation. I kind of talk about that in my earlier episodes. I spent time partying. I went to university, but didn't love what I was studying, and, you know, just felt extremely lost. And I feel like it was, you know, a bit of a waste of those years. I think that in maidenhood, we need our maidens and our magas and crones to be really helping in the community, and also growing in themselves, because once we become mothers, especially mothers to young children, there's so much work that needs to be done. And a big part of us, you know, energy and our soul and our heart and everything has to go towards our home and our children and our husband, which isn't a bad thing at all. But I think if it's balanced by a conscious maidenhood and a conscious, I call MAGA, are like the women, you know, around premenopausal, And they're like maybe 45 to 50, 60, 65 age group. And then the crones are maybe like 65, 70 plus. Like crones, you're like old, you know, old, the wrinkles and the hair and the wisdom and maybe a slower body as well that requires more help. But that, yeah, we need a sense of balance in our lives of conscious maidenhood and conscious magahood and conscious cronehood that can really support the mothers that are doing so much, and can't be offering back to the community maybe so much. And so this girl, this 16-year-old, had such a deep sense of that. And it was so healing for me to feel that, having that at 16, that it's possible at 16 too. I want to raise my girls to have a conscious teenagehood and maidenhood. And that was actually quite inspiring to connect to that aspect of hers, because it's something I want to bring to my own children. And when we do QHHT and we connect with these other personalities, it's like a knowing that then a memory that sticks in our body, almost like, you know, I can remember my teenagehood that I had and the memories from that. But now I can also connect and remember this girl's maidenhood and what that felt like in the body and what her community and elders around her did to allow her to have that experience. So then the next scene after that was, so in QHHT, we just say we're going to leave that scene and move forward and back in time in this lifetime to another important day. Pretty simple, right? And I went to a scene of a wedding. Part of me laughed as a practitioner. I was like, oh, this is so typical. I see this quite often in people where the weddings and the usually giving birth to are like pretty typical things that people are going to see from a past life. So I was getting married, but it's funny because I was laughing at myself, but it's very important to how that applies to my life now, because in my life now I have my partner and we haven't had a like wedding ceremony. We both feel like we had this one day where we decided we were going to be together, and it was in Costa Rica overlooking the mountains, and I feel like creator spirit source was so present and close with us that to me feels like our wedding day, the day that we decided we were going to do this together, this life together. But we hadn't had a wedding ceremony. There have been, you know, some challenges in my family, some things with the relationship between my husband and my family members that have been tricky. And with, you know, the way my parents are, that hasn't really made it possible. My partner also doesn't really want a ceremony in this lifetime, just the way he is and his personality. But it has been something, you know, that I've seen now family members and friends undergo and thought, oh, man, I'd love to put a dress on and have a party and have all my family there. And I had this dream that I could get my parents to speak to each other again and have them be present, both sides of the family, at my wedding. But I had already mostly let that go. But it's interesting. I just love how QHHT does this, where you think that there's something that isn't really important anymore, not a problem. You've let it go. You've done the work. And then it gets like fully comes closed circle and fully completed through something like QHHT that is a full physical, emotional, mental, spiritual experience. And so I saw myself getting married, wearing a white dress. I was kind of resistant to the idea. I was like, I don't think the Native Americans had white, but she was wearing white. She was all decorated with these beautiful beads and things. He was so handsome, like so handsome. I remember staring into his eyes and knowing that it's my partner in this lifetime now. And there was all this family, his family, the girl's family were there, and it was a big celebration. It was a big event. Everyone was very excited because they were both kind of more important people, quote unquote, important people. They like had higher status in their communities, where she was the daughter of a chief and he was also kind of the son of a warrior chief. Now, Lena, so I had said that he came from like the warrior clan and that he may be, because she was asking what he looked like. And I said, like, I think he has buzzed hair. But my husband, like, I call him my husband. We're not technically married, but anyway, I call him my husband. He has buzzed hair in now. He prefers to wear his head buzzed. And I was like, I don't know if I'm just confusing the two people. It's kind of hard when you're in this situation. Sometimes things are not clear. And so again, if you're going to experience this, I just want to share that. Sometimes things are not clear, but we trust and we let go. And sometimes the more we look, and I said, like, I think he has buzzed hair, but I'm not sure. And Lena said, oh, because the warrior people, the warrior tribes, you know, and now in North America, the Mohawk are often known as like the fighters. And again, what's interesting is that the day before, I was at my mom's and my father-in-law, I don't know why we were talking about this, but he had said something about the Mohawk get called in when there's, okay, so we were talking about Oka, this Nash Provincial Park in Quebec, and that there was something that happened in the 80s or 90s. I want to look this up to know exactly what happened in this important event, but there was kind of like a standoff between the Native Americans or the First Nations people of the area on their reserve and the police, like the Quebec police. There was some kind of standoff, and my stepdad was saying that the Mohawk got called in because they're like the warrior guys. They have guns now, but they're like the fighters. If ever they need to be defending or fighting something, the Mohawk get called in. And it was just a random conversation that we had the day before this session. And then Lena mentioned that the Mohawk are the people that are known to be the fighters. Yeah, it's kind of weird even me just telling it back like this, because like I don't usually talk about the Mohawk in regular conversation, but we had talked about it the day before, and then Lena mentioned it, and I think it actually sounds pretty true, and I've talked to my husband about it, and he said that that definitely feels like it aligns, and he definitely has some kind of like a fighter energy about him. For sure, some kind of like a warrior thing to go out and fight for things. Like he often says, if things get too crazy with the government, that he's just going to go and start a revolution, and some people have to lose their lives over it, you know? And I'm like, can we please not do that? And maybe there's more efficient ways to do things. He has this like deep sense of like, no, I will go and I will, you know, give my life for this. He's got this sense of like the soldier and the fighter and the warrior and in him, that archetype, I guess. So yeah, that was very, very interesting. He was like, I'm just going to say, you know, Mohawk, possibly person. I was getting this information. I feel there's like a flow, a download of background information that comes when we're looking at a scene. It was all just coming in and I was letting it flow out that we had met each other at like larger tribal gatherings, larger festivals and important events, and had decided that we would, you know, want to be with each other, and then had gotten the permission from our parents and the leaders and elders. And then it was a very big, there was like a lot expected of us as leaders in our communities to be coming together, basically. And so that was that scene. It was beautiful, and it was very healing for me to again experience a wedding like that and to see like, oh, I've already done it. And when I talked about it with my partner afterwards, he said, well, that's why we didn't dilly-dally in our relationship. We just jumped right in. And it's true. That's what we did. We met in November at our yoga teacher training, and I was pregnant that February. So yes, we got pregnant after knowing each other for 3 months, which sounds crazy. And I never really trusted, but wow, even just talking about it now, it's like I almost have tears that, of course, we already had a relationship together. We had already been married, and so we were just picking up where we left off. And he said it like that. He said, well, that's why we, you know, just had a baby so fast, because we just knew we were picking up where we left off. I'm getting a little bit emotional about that. So the next scene was that the scene I had seen already in the group past life regression that I did, where we were kind of like in a, I call it a tent. It wasn't quite a teepee, but some kind of like shelter that we had built for ourselves. I guess some kind of like a honeymoon where we were intimate and together. But the important thing about this scene was that there was a deep sense of knowing that he was going to be leaving, that he had to. Okay, I'm back later in the day. I had to interrupt that recording because a baby woke up from his nap and I was on mothering duty, baby duty. I have space now again to finish the story. So this was a scene that I had already, so scene S-C-E-N-E, that I had already seen S-E-E-N with that YouTube regression. And we were kind of on our honeymoon, and there was a deep sense that he was going to be leaving for war with the whites, with the white people, the Europeans who were coming. And it's interesting to connect back with these people and connect to their sense of intuition, because they trust it a lot more. They listen to it a lot more than we do in our day. It's like culturally more accepted and talked about to listen and follow the intuition. And so there was this knowing that he had to be leaving. He was going to be leaving. And but great love between them, great love between them, and a sense too that they would always be connected and not to worry. And the next scene, S-C-E-N-E, that I was taken to was of her being very pregnant, like 8 months pregnant, and around her tribe in her village, and just kind of being busy and helping out. And the man was gone, her husband was gone. But I think what was important about seeing this, and this is what's interesting with QHHT, when we ask, now leave that scene and move to another important day, and you kind of arrive to another important day, sometimes you don't know why you're there. I had a client who once just saw mountains. And she said, I see mountains. And I said, okay. And she said, I'm traveling on a wagon and I'm going somewhere, but I'm looking out at the mountains. And I was very curious, wondering what's so important about the mountains. There seemed to be nothing more important about that scene. She was just sitting on a wagon, maybe carrying something that she was going to sell at the market. And there was nothing really interesting happening around. There was no one there. Just she was staring off into the distance to these mountains. And later in that experience, she ended up moving to those mountains, and the reason she was watching the mountains was because she was wanting to move out there and leave the town, which I found so interesting. And I see this again time and time again, that people will see things and see a story or a happening or an unfolding of an event and not understand the background information as to why they're seeing it until later. Which again kind of shows to me how it's not like a forced, imagined experience. It's something that's just coming out of somewhere more cosmic, beyond our usual conscious mind, that's coming into our awareness for a specific reason. And so that's what happened to me. I saw her very pregnant. She was very healthy. I felt heavy and stretched out, just as I do in this life when I'm pregnant. And she was pregnant with his child, and she was very connected to him. She could feel him. I think that was the reason I saw that scene, was because she could connect to her husband and sense where he was, sense whether he was safe, kind of sense his feelings, exchange some kind of, you know, telepathic messaging a little bit. And she, and that was that scene. There was nothing more important than that. I was curious if I was going to see the birth. I'm very curious about how the First Nations people supported women in birth, as you know, I do doula work now and postpartum. I would have liked to have seen that. I can probably get myself into a deep meditative state and connect back to that. So that's something I might want to do in the future. But then I was asked to go forward again. There was nothing more important. And it was that she was much older. So it was fast forwarded maybe 15, 16 years to that. Oh no, there was a scene of a 2-year-old boy running around. It wasn't very clear. It took a while for it to come in, but again, just trusting and allowing it to come. And I was kind of in analysis as this was happening. I was explaining some of the background stuff and how it related to my life as Emily during that past life regression part of the session. And I think looking back, it could be better to just allow the story to unfold and do the analysis later in the second part. This is just a personal reflection. But again, he was a 2-year-old boy, and the sense was that she was missing, you know, her husband quite a bit. She could connect to him. She could feel that he was kind of more involved in battles and more dangerous stuff, but he was still alive, and she was taking on more work as a medicine woman because the children were kind of raised by everyone. And that was it. I can't remember if there was anything more important. The next scene was that the boy was 15 or 16 years old, so had grown to a teenager, and he was going to be going off to his initiation into manhood, which is when they go for 3 or 4 days by themselves in the woods to have some kind of spiritual experience, which it was really beautiful to live that from a mother's perspective, because I have a son now, and I have a feeling, my sense is that the son I have now, his soul, I think we've known each other in a few different lives, but I think in that lifetime he was our son then. And my husband and I have also talked about it, that that's why he feels, my husband, such a deep connection with this boy. He literally can't be separated from him. He will stop working to just be with the baby and help with the baby and nap with the baby. And if he could be paid to do all the things with the baby, he would. That's how much he's attached to our baby son. It's sweet. It's really special. And so this boy was going into his manhood, and it was a beautiful scene. He, you know, handsome young man, but I got a very deep sense that the woman had hardened off in her heart, hardened off in her mind, in her soul, and not the best way. She felt kind of unapproachable, just tough and hard. And the man had died, so the husband had died, and she got a sense of it right away. She knew, because she could no longer kind of telepathically, I suppose, or psychically connect to him anymore. And this will come up later after her death, but she didn't really feel him in the spiritual realms either. So she could no longer connect with him, and it hardened her heart, and she became a tough lady. She kept doing her medicine work, but she wasn't very soft and open of heart. She was really very much in the mind. And yeah, that was the energy that I got from her. And then the next scene was the fire. And again, I had seen this in in a previous experience where I had seen her fall into the fire, and she had gotten, what I had seen before was severely burnt on the right side of her body. And this time what I saw was that it was not actually anything very serious. It was a silly thing where she was lost in her thoughts and her minds, and you know, going on, spinning out a little bit in her mind, and had some kind of accident with fire and had gotten burned in a few different places, and that it was a reminder to stay out of her mind. And that's okay. What's really crazy about this is the next day after the session, a few days later, I was getting ready to prepare tea for something I was hosting at my place, and I was pouring hot boiling water into a glass jar because I wanted to make like a hibiscus tea that I was then going to put in the fridge and have ice cold tea the next day for my mom and baby's gathering. And I had this thought, this intuitive sense that I should not be pouring boiling water into this particular glass jar because it was not a mason jar and I was doing it just on the counter. I should have done it in the sink. And I thought, this could probably explode if I put hot water in here. And instead of listening to that voice, I was kind of busy, had the baby. Did I have the baby? I think Vitaly was with the baby, and the girls were away. But I ended up pouring the hot water in, and that glass jar exploded, and the hot water fell onto me, on my stomach and onto my leg, and I burnt myself. I had a crazy burn, which is weird. It's I don't think it's a coincidence. It's some kind of a karmic thing, because actually since that event, I feel like it's like that was like a physical karmic release, processing, transformation of releasing anger and frustration, which is what this woman was kind of holding, this frustration, this anger, that he was gone, that her husband was gone. And so then the next scene was, I think, the last day of her life. She had died alone because her son was off on some kind of hunting expedition and no one in the village was coming to see her. I think part of my sense of this woman was that she took on a lot of responsibility and didn't really voice what she needed to her community, and also had made herself hard and tough on herself and tough on others in a way that people didn't want to really approach her, were afraid of her. And so she ended up dying alone, which she wasn't too upset about. Like, it wasn't a big deal for her. It was more that she realized, like, oh shucks, like, I could have been softer and this would have been a little bit better, but oh well, this is what happened. And then she died, kind of thing. I find in what I've seen in my past life experiences, I haven't seen anything like too serious. I've supported clients in, you know, pretty intense deaths and, serious emotional things, more trauma kind of throughout the lifetime. But I have personally not seen that yet. And you know, so that's the one thing some people tell me, they're afraid to see what they would see in a past life because maybe they've done something bad. Some people have an intuitive sense, or that someone has done something really terrible to them and they don't want to see it. And it's true that in the past, humans were, you know, pretty horrid to each other. I mean, humans are pretty horrid now, but violence was, you know, more common, I guess, in the past 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years. So I can understand that fear. I personally have not seen anything super horrific in my own past lives. But again, everybody's different and whatever people see is what they need to see. And so this woman, then on the other side where I wanted to stay because there was something important, I usually ask people, you know, is there anyone there to greet you? What is it like? And then we look back on the whole life. And the first person there to greet her was her husband. She was so happy to see him. Like, she was so happy. He was happy to see her. And Lena asked the question, was he a guardian over her? Did he stay with her in her lifetime? And I had this like full on laughter emotion that came over me that, because I was seeing him in between lives. Anyway, it sounds crazy to talk about, but hopefully you're with me. And he laughed because he was like, no, like I didn't stay around. I had stuff to do. My soul had places to be. And he was kind of laughing at me and was a bit sad for me, feeling compassionate that I had let myself get hard. His message was like, why did you let yourself get hard just because I wasn't around for, you know, part of your lifetime? The message was like, you knew that we would be back together and have another lifetime together if this one didn't work out. You knew that. We knew that. Why did you not trust that anymore? He said, I had things to do. I was not around because you could have been okay on your own. And I just, yeah, I love this. I find it's a really great message that, I mean, I think our romantic relationships are very important. I think the relationship, especially between, you know, our life partners, our husbands and wives and partners that we have, are very important relationships. And I would say that the most important relationship is the relationship with our own soul and our relationship with, you know, Creator, God, Source. That is the utmost, most important relationship. And I think that a relationship with a romantic relationship is helpful for us to create that love towards ourselves and towards life, Creator, God, Source. But it's not the be all and end all. And so that was that message that he was like, you knew you were like a highly spiritually evolved being with, you know, lots of knowledge, and you knew not to get hard. You knew to keep your heart soft and open and caring and compassionate towards others. And you didn't. But it was very loving and kind of like silly a little bit. Like, oh, you messed up and you'll get a chance in your next life. It's not too big of a problem. And sure enough, in this lifetime, I've definitely had that energy of being hard and tough with others, like I said before. And I've learned over time to soften that, to soften it on myself, but also to find the benefit of it, I guess, like the usefulness of it. We can't throw all criticism into the garbage. I mean, my God, I'm still a Virgo after all. But I love the framework or philosophy of conscious leadership. And they talk about turning the villain into the challenger. So instead of like blaming, having the energy of blame and finding other people as bad and wrong, we're challenging and we're seeing how things could be improved, but with much love and acceptance and honor for, you know, the current reality and expression of whatever it is. That's kind of where I'm at now. How I have softened it doesn't mean throwing it out the window completely and no longer having judgments or criticism in any way. But coming to like a healthy expression of that, where I am evaluating life, myself, others, I am judging, and also, more importantly, loving the current expression and having a greater understanding of the unfolding of things and loving and trusting Creator and Source who is behind the unfolding of everything, right? Like our little human mind, our soul is not the one that's going to be deciding on everything. So trusting Creator in what has been created and knowing that we can co-create more and better. So we evaluate and we do better next time while fully loving the present. I guess I went into that because that's been a very important lesson for me. And so this woman, that was an important lesson for her. And I feel very grateful to have connected with her and with that man as well. Talking to my partner now about it has been very interesting. It resonates deeply for him. We have been on a few hikes around Quebec and Ontario. I had been through on one a few years ago before I even met my partner now, and had a feeling of like, wow, I have been to this place before. There's a place in Quebec called Mont Saint-Hilaire, and it's like a special mountain, and I climbed to the top of it and looked out over the plain, and I thought, oh my God, I've seen this before. This was before I knew past life regression, but it was a very strong hit. I feel like that mountain is a place where there used to be important ceremonies that happened, and this woman had been there before. But that's quite a while, it's quite a far walk, or, you know, ways away from the Toronto area where I believe she grew up, in like southern Ontario, but I think moving quite a bit. These people moved quite a bit. And so my partner Vitaly has also had those experiences in Canada as a child, where he felt, I've been here before, I know this land. And this ties into part of what my inner voice or higher self, subconscious, said during the session. And so this was another kind of concern of mine, was that I wasn't sure if I was going to be really accessing my inner voice. It's been work that I do and daily, every day, to be able to listen and hear and get quiet and hear that loving, wise, peaceful, calm, grounded part of myself to speak, because we all have that within us. And a big part of the work is to just quiet that superficial monkey mind so that we can hear that deeper part of ourselves. I feel it's still in the mind. Our mind itself is not a bad thing. Our consciousness is not a bad thing, but there are different layers to it, and it's up to us to choose where we live from, you know, what thoughts we give power to, and then that will inform how we think, how we speak, and how we act in the world. And so part of my personal work is continuously seeking to connect with the thoughts and information and feelings and wisdom from that deep place within myself, which I call the inner voice, subconscious, or I guess higher self. And I could feel the difference in my body and in my voice and how I was speaking as to where I was speaking from. And I have the recording, which I have to listen to. Very important to listen to recordings after the sessions. But I remember being able to feel the difference in my voice, and also in the answer, like a full deep yes, yes. You know, it was like, whew, very relaxed in the whole face. I could feel a change in my body when I was changing the different levels. So I don't believe I spent that whole next hour in my full deep higher self, subconscious within myself. It was kind of hovering back and forth between a slightly higher level and the deeper level. But there were interesting information that came out of that, if you're interested in hearing. So one of them was about the trees, and that the trees that are in the area around my childhood home are descendants of the trees that would have been, you know, growing or alive at that time that that woman was alive. And so there's like an ancestral connection with the trees, because they recognize my soul and they're so happy that I'm back, and they want to talk and they want to communicate. And this is something in this lifetime that I have felt a little bit crazy about. I think even as a child, I would give trees names and I would just want to be around them, and I didn't know I was listening to them or in anything, and I thought I was just acting out like Pocahontas, really. But as an adult, as I've grown spiritually, I have really opened up and just connected to trees in big ways. And I've always thought that was a little bit of a weird, crazy thing. I haven't like worked with groups to connect and talk to the trees at all. It's just something I've done on my own. And here my inner voice really said, you know, to trust myself, to talk to them. They love it. And to deepen that relationship and open that communication. So that's a big thing for me, because I always have this thing that I'm crazy. Like I'm like too spiritual, and I have these weird intuitions or hearings and things, and I'm a crazy person. But I'm starting to realize that I think that that's an innate part of being human. And I'm actually just more sensitive. And anyone who shuts it out and calls it crazy is actually more crazy. That's my current perspective. And so that was a message, yeah, that the trees now recognize my soul from back then in these lands. So then I had other more specific questions that I was asking. I had problems with my ear in the past year, and my higher self said, yep, it's being resolved. She just needs to listen deeper, listen more. And this is work personally that I've been doing, trying to kind of hear and listen, you know, the trees and my inner voice. I've known that this could be an aspect about my ear. And I always feel like, okay, I've opened up more channel. I'm listening more, like my ear should be healed, and it's not healed. So I thought I was not on the right path. But the message was that there's like so much further I can go that I don't even realize how much more I could be hearing and connecting. And that's what my soul is calling me to do through these body symptoms. It's like, keep hearing more, please keep listening more. I think it's also kind of geared towards like what I listen to, what I place myself around, and what I allow myself to hear. So like things on TV and music, to just really elevate anything that I expose my hearing to. Other questions? Oh, yes. So regarding that family member that I had asked about, you know, how to navigate better, that family member is quite hard, just like that woman became in the end. And the message was to answer to hardness with softness. You know, like the people in the village could have been softer and learned how to navigate this woman's strength and her harshness. And so because me as a soul has gone through that, and I know what that harshness is like, I can answer to hardness with water, with a watery type approach, and an open heart and a soft heart, and to not be afraid, and to not defend back and meet harshness with more harshness, to meet harshness with a soft, open heart. And I remember the breath, that I took a breath, a deep breath, a sigh of relief. I was like so full body. And since then, it's been like such a release from my being of carrying this story, and just being softer and trusting that I can answer to harshness with softness. Another question, which I will share about here, I had a question about, two things. You know, can I do more, and how can I do more? Because I have more that I want to be doing in my life. I'm already doing a lot as a homeschooling mom of three, and, you know, starting my own business and stuff. But there's, you know, we feel like there's possibly another child coming to us. So we would like another child, or we, you know, want to be ready to welcome her. I feel like the babies sometimes just come in. If they want to come in, they're coming in. But we could close out and say, no, we don't want, we can't handle. But I'm curious as to how I could handle. And also with my business, I want to do more. I want to reach more people and work with more people and explore some of the questions and ideas I have, and facilitate more physical healing through this spiritual soul healing. That's what I'm very interested in. Like personally invested in finding out and figuring out how it all works a little bit, and practicing and experimenting. So that was one of my questions, and the higher self was very clear that yes, she can do more. She needs to become more focused and live more from her higher self and more streamlined. And there will be so much more energy. Also, by releasing the frustration and anger, underlying anger at life, God, her partner, these other people in her life, by releasing that, there will be so much more energy to do all the things that want to be done. And then regarding the next baby, this was very clear. It was very interesting. It kind of just came out of me, like a bit of a channeling. And I know to not doubt it and just allow it to come out and then kind of sit with it and analyze it afterwards. But the message about this next child is that she was going to be much softer. She was going to be soft and loving, very loving, like so much love. I can already almost like feel her presence now. That was a question. Am I crazy for feeling her presence? And it was very clear. Nope. She's around and she needs you to connect with her because she's a being of a highly, highly loving, elevated, spiritually being who's coming in, and she needs to feel safe to come in. The message was that our other three children have very much of a like light warrior type of energy because the parents, we've been a bit more stressed, you know, for different reasons in our life, calling them in. Our son was conceived and I was pregnant with him through COVID. So there was a very strong sense of light warrior having to change and improve the world with him. And I cover that in my podcast episodes about conception and pregnancy. And he, yeah, so the message was that she will be coming in. She's a girl. She will be coming in and we will be in a much better place on all the levels, financially, spiritually, in our relationship, just our organization, our inner states will be much more elevated. And so we can welcome in a child that is less of a warrior because she will feel safe to come in. And again, my heart, my inner voice or whatever, wherever I was speaking from, clarified that there's nothing, there isn't one that's better or worse, like a warrior child versus just a love child. There isn't better or worse. They're all needed on earth because in the Indian culture, they emphasize that we have to protect the pregnant mother. She can't, you know, she don't tell her any bad news. She can't be emotional because it's going to affect the baby and it's going to be sick if with all of this. And so I actually felt quite a bit of stress, especially in my first and second pregnancies, to just be happy because God forbid I would be stressed and angry, you know, it was going to hurt the baby. I felt it was a lot of pressure on the mother, but the mother can't take it on all by herself to just be happy all the time. It depends on her circumstances. It depends on her community and the relationships around her. There were reasons for me to have these emotions with the people around me. And yes, I could probably elevate myself to, you know, a higher spiritual state where I could keep that equanimity regardless of who's around me and what's happening and the circumstances, but I wasn't there and that's okay. And it created certain children with certain imprints, and that's okay because they're going to take that on and that'll be part of their karma too. Nothing is unloving. That's kind of the message that keeps coming through QHHT, is it's all love. It's all part of a loving plan. Which was similar to, you know, this idea with this husband that we're together now again. It's a crazy thing to feel that we had that relationship interrupted and we just had to wait another lifetime to come back together. It's kind of mind-blowing to have that perspective, to really feel it and live it in my body, to really trust that it's true. And the message was that this fourth child will bring and infuse a lot of love into all the warriors, because the parents, my husband and I, and the three first children have a very strong sense of warrior energy, and she's going to be like informing us to bring more love into that fighting energy. And I believe that is all the important stuff that I wanted to share. I hope this was useful for you. You know, whether or not you try your own QHHT experience, I think that some of the messages in here are just important and valuable for people listening and to share. I think that's all I want to share. If you're interested in a one-on-one session, I do them in person in Collingwood or possibly in the GTA, or online is also available. And there will be group sessions coming soon online and in person, where you get a taste for QHHT for at a lower price point, and also get the support of the group and to kind of see and hear other people's experiences, and also have some of your questions about past lives answered. And I also want to recommend a podcast episode by someone I've been following for a while, Bella Lively. She's an entrepreneur, kind of in the self development spiritual world. She's an Eckhart Tolle and Abraham Hicks trained person, although she's kind of going away and doing her own thing now. She posted an interesting episode about past lives that I highly recommend, and I think it's so interesting to see her process. I'm following that very closely, so I will post that below. And don't hesitate to reach out if you have any questions about these topics, comments, and great ways that you can help support my work and this podcast are by sharing it with those you think would be interested, sharing it on your social media and tagging me, rating and the podcast on the platform that you're listening to it, and leaving a comment. And also, I do have a space on my website for donations if you want to support. I'm looking to eventually have a Patreon maybe coming where people can, you know, even $2-3 a month. If a few people do that, it can be very helpful for me and my family. So thank you for listening all this way. And I wish you the most beautiful day. And I wish you to be informed from your inner voice, higher self. Much love. Goodbye.
Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times.